This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All righty, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. Before I bring our special guest, all right, Mr. Nick Henrich on, before I bring him on, this segment of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue at 11th and Cornhusker, open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, a half smoked chicken, and much more. Plus, ladies and gentlemen, incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue by Single Barrel, located at 11th and Cornhusker. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the man I'm about to bring on was a 2018 Gatorade Nebraska Player of the Year, standout linebacker, one of the semifinalists for the High School Buckus Award, a man who played on Nebraska's team, actually, Matt Rhule's first season, just retired from football not that long ago, a team captain in 2022, a multi-time blackshirt academic all Big Ten, Mr. Nick Henrich. How you doing, my friend?
What's up, boss? How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Dude, I'm glorious. I appreciate you having me on. So, as I tend to do sometimes in interviews, I'm going to go backwards before I go forwards because I'm curious. Matt Rhule becomes the head coach here at the University of Nebraska. You're going into, you know, you didn't know it was going to be your last year, but ended up being your last year. But he's got that first team meeting. He's talking to the team. I wonder what that was like. Like, what was his message to the team? How was it received by the team going into a new era under a new coach, under a tumultuous previous era and coach? What was it like at that moment in time as Matt Rhule was starting to kick off his era at Nebraska?
Yeah, I mean, it was super interesting. I remember the first team meeting he had. It was actually pretty brief and short because he like just got hired, just flew in, and he it was like 5 minutes, and then he had to go on do a crap ton of press, you know, like when you get hired. But I remember it was super simple that he's like, you're my team. Like, we're not going to run anyone out. I want to get to know each and every one of you guys. And then he talked about how he was going to meet with all of us. So I think from a player's perspective, that was really great to hear because you always worry and hear these nightmare stories about guys getting ran out when a new coach brings in and he's just going to bring his guys in. So I think it was a crazy time for all of us, but hearing that was always, you know what I mean, good and provided a little bit of hope for the future.
Talk to me about, obviously you start to enter into winter conditioning because he was hired in December. Pardon me. Then you go into spring ball. As things are going along and things are unfolding in his first off season, what was kind of his message to the team through the off season? He's obviously trying to change the culture, build it the way he wants. What were some of the things he would say? And what was his message to the team as he's trying to kick off this new era and start building his culture over the course of that first off season?
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the major themes were just, you know, discipline and accountability, as well as the importance of being a physical team and winning the trenches, and highlighting how that's kind of the backbone of his philosophy is teams that can run the ball and stop the run. So yeah, I mean, practices were super physical. Guys got after it. It was crazy. There was a lot of yelling and a lot of chaos, but I mean, it was a nice change up, honestly. And I mean, from the strength and conditioning side, it was incredible. I worked a lot with, you know, that side more in the spring because I was rehabbing from an ACL, but just to see how much bigger, stronger, faster, more flexible guys were getting was pretty cool. And we're like, okay, these guys are pretty freaking good. Like, we got a great staff here and we're lucky to have them. So yeah, I think in that spring, trust was built pretty quickly from the staff and strength staff. And yeah, I mean, it was a lot different, but it was really good.
So talk to me about Corey Campbell, the strength staff. I've seen, you know, a little bit about the way he does things compared to the previous staff. What would you say were the biggest changes? It sounds like in your eyes, there were some improvements. What were some of the things that you thought were the biggest changes and some of the biggest upgrades, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was super regimented, super organized. Every minute was planned of what you needed to be doing, which, you know, obviously you can only lift a certain amount of time or you can only run a certain amount of time. So seeing how every minute and every second of what we were doing was utilized to benefit us and to get us bigger, stronger, faster was super, super cool and super noticeable. And then just how everyone was on the same page and everyone was working towards the same goal. And there's always the accountability piece to where, you know, if you mess up once in the warm up, you're getting screamed at and you're going back and you're doing it again. So I think doing it right and the flexibility piece was huge as well. I mean, obviously you played for a ton of years. You know how important that is as far as longevity for your career. But I think guys' bodies started feeling better and we were able to train harder because of that flexibility and the recovery aspects that they added as well.
It's crazy because, you know, obviously people are going to prioritize lifting and running and speed and agility and conditioning and squats and all this stuff. You know, the longer I went on, the more I learned flexibility is huge. Flexibility of the hips is a ginormous thing. You listen to NFL scouts, they'll talk about like linebackers and DBs having the ability to flip their hips in coverage, or a defensive lineman having the ability to bend and get low and get around the corner, which is in large part dependent upon the hips and hip mobility. So I don't know if there's any young athlete out there who wants to get better and you're like, man, there's so many things to stretch. There's only so much time in a day. Get a great hip mobility program. It will make an immense, immediate difference. All right, man. So I'm looking at last year's schedule. Obviously we know what happened, 5-7 and all that, but I'm just kind of curious. I got to ask about one game in particular, and I'm not trying to be negative or positive. I've never seen anything like this. The Michigan game doesn't go great, but he doesn't bring you guys in to watch film the next day. Maybe you did watch film, but he brings you guys in and you practice and you scrimmage on a Sunday after you just played a full game. What was the vibe in the locker room like that? Because I can put myself in a situation like that and I can imagine it, but dude, what was it like when he's like, nah, we're going to scrimmage? Did everyone just look around like, is this dude crazy or what?
Yeah, I mean, you can ask me anything now that I'm retired. Shoot, I don't care anymore.
I love it.
No, it was, so the Michigan game was obviously horrible. And I don't think there was a soul on our team that felt like we did really good or anyone in particular did good. So we come in Sunday like we normally do and, you know, everyone's pissed off and coaches are pissed off, but it was a little more, I guess, quiet than normal, which made us all kind of nervous. So we go through our normal lift and go through our normal meetings and recovery and stuff. And we get to the team meeting and he shows it was like 5 or 6 clips, just, you know, randomly guys messing up, guys missing tackles, whatever, not doing their job, not knowing what to do. And he's like, y'all didn't want to play yesterday, we're going to play today. It's just like, everyone started looking around like, what is he talking about? And then he was like, you guys have 15 minutes to get your pads on. And he just walked out. Dude. And I've never been a part of just an atmosphere where it was so quiet. And we're just like, what is going on? Then we get down there and it's like, okay, well, I guess it's either, you know what I mean? We're doing this or we're not on the team anymore. So yeah, it was a surreal experience and man, that was crazy. It ended up being, you know, you kind of play football and it got pretty chippy and he was like, the whole point, like, you guys can play like this against each other, but why don't you play like this against other teams? And from there it was, you know, guys walking off and it's like, well, obviously we don't have it all figured out, but it was a really crazy experience. And then we had a short week that week, I think.
That's right.
I think we had a short week too. Yep. Yeah. So we're like, all right, time to get recovered and roll. So it was a very weird experience.
That's right. I forgot about it. I'm looking at the schedule. You guys played at Illinois on a Friday. Obviously, yep, it worked. You guys won 20-7.
No, so, that's what we're all saying after Rule got up in the locker room and was like, don't ever make me do that again to you guys. But you see what I'm getting at? And we're all like, man, that was. So it went from kind of the lowest of lows and Michigan, you know, your body's beat up, short week, to feeling that, you know, as you felt so many times, that feeling in the locker room when you're winning, celebrating with your teammates, and you're like, okay, like, we see where this guy is coming from, and he just wants the best for us. So, yeah, it was a really, really wild, like, 7 days there.
So I kind of bring that up because the Indiana game, in a way, it's kind of similar to the Michigan game. And then the Ohio State game, obviously we did not win, but there was a certain amount of you know, respect, I think, in a way that was earned, at least by the defense for sure. And we found a field goal kicker, a lot of positives, obviously didn't win the game. But to me, in a way, all right, it's kind of similar to Michigan, Illinois a year ago. Talk to me about, do you feel like the Ohio State game, albeit a loss, lots of positives you can take away from this particular loss, do you feel like it could potentially be a turning point in Matt Rhule's tenure here and maybe the season for the Huskers?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, gosh, it's brutal watching as a fan, right? I think it's just so different, but you see those guys out there, and I mean, it really hurt watching Indiana because I know the character of those guys, and I know how much time they put in and how much work they put in, and then to see that result was obviously really disheartening and frustrating. And then going into this week, I mean, man, I know everyone thought how much they fought and how bad they wanted it and how competitive it was. Again, there's no moral victories, but I mean, they took an Ohio State team to the ropes, and despite the refs, and I don't even want to get into that, whatever, but
I already went on a rant. Don't worry.
I know. But yeah, I mean, it was super encouraging, and I think the improvement's so clear and it's so there that it's flipping at any moment. And I know we've been saying that for a while, but I mean, I think everyone can also appreciate that. Okay. We are, you know, we have 5 wins and we took an Ohio State team to the ropes, and we can continue to build off of this now. And I think this very well could be a turning point in the, you know, the history of Nebraska football. Really, it's been this crazy bad run for so long. I think that was a game where people are going to look back and say, no, this team's legit. Like, these guys are, there's some good ball players on there, and this is a well-coached, really good team that no one's going to want to see on their schedule.
All right, man. Last question I got for you. So obviously a season ago, you guys, 4 games left, you just needed one score or one win. Obviously it didn't happen, but this year we're kind of in a similar situation. We've got 4 games left, just need one more win. Knowing what Rhule said to the team last year as the season was unfolding, what do you think his message is to the team now going into the final month of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be similar to what his message has probably been. Obviously, you know, I haven't been in the locker room all year, but he's such a process guy, and he's such a living in the present guy. And I think that's the only way to go about it is, hey, we can't worry about what game we have in 2 weeks or what we have in 2 days. You have to worry about what you're doing right now. And I'm sure that's really resonating with the guys, and certainly a big challenge after such a heartbreaking loss with Ohio State. But yeah, I think the message is, hey, that's done now. What are we going to do about it? You're going to show up to work. You're going to show up to this meeting, and you're going to be locked in. You're going to practice hard and continue to build off that. But you can't keep holding on to these past and these what ifs, you know, that come up so often in life and in sport. So, yeah, I think it'd be a message of just staying present and continuing to, you know, own your process.
All right, man, I appreciate you taking the time to join me. Good luck with your future endeavors and in your retirement as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. Not the AP poll, the AC poll. Right after these messages.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save.